brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone. Here we are for another suds segment where you can choose your own beer or listen to the good old boys and go. If you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. Who writes this stuff?
Mm-hmm. It's like William Shakespeare.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right. We're already banned somewhere.
Yep.
Well, anyways, I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana. Joining me at the table today is good old boy Kendall.
I'm glad I chose to be here today. Exercised my free will.
No ding, no.
He gets a ding.
Okay. Good old boy Carl, welcome back.
It's like time has stood still since we've last been together.
Oh, I love that. That's so ding.
You know, you're cheapening the ding. If everybody just gets a ding for everything they say.
But they're great.
I can't.
You should.
No.
Good old boy Paddington. I mean, Sparky. How are you?
I have elbow patches and I can't follow those two. That was awesome.
We are so proud, though. You look great.
Thank you. Like, he does.
Yes. As always.
It's good to have Sparky back.
And aww. Then there's good old boy Dave.
Yes.
My nipples are always hard.
It's true. I didn't have a rush joke, so I just...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of rush. So a couple months ago, good old boy Dave and I were up in Northeastern PA.
It's all PA.
No, it's very divisive. Visiting family, and while we were there, you know, as always, we shop for beer, which we do every time. So we happened to go to a place where the store owner told us about a dinner party that he had recently featuring some beer celebrating the band Rush. I mean, a Rush dinner party. How cool is that? Well, of course, we had to buy some and bring it back to share on the show.
In 2021, after learning that Iron Maiden had started making their own beer, the guys in Rush decided they couldn't let those little British biatches be the only game in town. So Rush partnered with Henderson Brewing Company in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, which I'm pretty sure is right down the road from Toronto, to make Rush Canadian Golden Ale. Building off that success, Rush and Henderson's have expanded their collaboration to several new beers, including the ones we will be tasting today.
Oh, wow. Okay, good old boy Kendall, would you please give us today's lineup?
And don't rush through it. Just take your time.
You got it. The Rush beers from Henderson's Brewing Company we'll be tasting and discussing today are the Rush Canadian Golden Ale, Signals, a 2022 limited edition Belgian Golden Strong. Also from 2022, Moving Pictures, another Belgian Strong Ale. This one's a dark version. And finally, Xanabrew, a Belgian Strong Golden Ale. If we have time, we might have a bonus beer.
Xanabrew. I figured that would be one they would make with Olivia Newton-John.
You know, right?
Yeah.
The Rush song came first.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, that's fair. Yes. Okay, good old boy Sparky, why don't you give us the suds ratings? And please, go ahead. Go hardcore. Go strange brew.
Okay.
Go whatever you want. As Canadian as can be.
All right, you hosers. We'll be discussing and rating these beers and these suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. Oh, that sucks. Give me anything but a Labatt's. Was that a belch, eh, you hoser? Ah, what a relief. I'm sorry about that. The dry cleaner got all the gravy stains out of my Canadian tuxedo. That's what I should have worn today as a Canadian tuxedo. 4. Oh, body really should not make that sound, even after 4 servings of poutine. And 5. Listen to that hang time. Give me another Canada Dry and Rye.
Canadians make good rye whiskey, dude. Well, I don't know. And I like Canada Dry. It's good.
At least you didn't have any references to Canadian bacon, because that's a sore subject.
Mm. Yeah. It's not bacon. Yeah. I don't know
it's not.
It is.
It's not even.
It's not even
Canadian.
Ham.
See, I go back to the days of Molson Triple X. That's my jam.
Wow. I want to hear about your dubious lifestyle choices.
Hey. Well, anyways. Okay. Well, let's get into it. So the first beer that we're going to go into is nice little can here. It is the Canadian Golden Ale. And it's a rye golden ale, 5.5% ABV, pours a gorgeous old gold color as opposed to a new gold color.
Sure. A tarnished gold.
Yeah.
I mean, gold is the new black.
It is.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
It smells weird.
It does smell weird.
Yeah.
It smells like homebrew. That's, do you know what I mean? Like, but you know what I mean, right? Like,
yes. That's, yes.
There's definitely.
Smells familiar in that regard.
Right? Like
sort of maybe marginal sanitary conditions or.
No, I'm not picking up anything really off. It's just, I know what you're saying. Maybe like a fermentation character.
Yeah. It's got that like. That sort of back end yeasty smell that I think oftentimes homebrew, you're talking about something that has not been filtered or pasteurized. So it's been moved from the fermenter directly to a bottle or directly to a keg. And so I think a lot of times you get that kind of yeasty characteristic. Also, if I didn't realize it was rye until you just said it, Juliana. So I think that rye carries a very specific aroma too, I think on, non-hop forward beers.
Yeah, and it's like heavy rye too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, really getting
it. And it stays.
On the palate. You get that spiciness. It just kind of lingers. Really, yeah. It's light, but it's there.
And it just stays on your back palate for forever.
Yeah. This is 5.5.
5.5,
yeah. Flows into the bitterness. Nice piney bitterness. Mm-hmm. A little foresty.
Yeah, yeah.
But it drinks well. Mm-hmm. I think it tastes good.
Yeah, I didn't think the smell lined up with the taste. I thought, when I smelled it, I thought, I'm not going to like this. And then I tasted it, and I was like, oh yeah, all right. I get this. I like it.
Sure. Yeah, I could see myself cracking a few at like around Thunder Bay.
Kendall, what would you pair this with?
Ooh, don't say poutine. Think about that.
Don't say poutine.
Yeah.
Canadian bacon.
Yeah.
Nice.
Something that would pair well with the spice and the bitterness. And if I'm trying to stick Canadian, I'm really having a hard time finding it.
You can go south.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm guessing some kind of a meat, like a grilled meat or something this would go well with. But yeah, venison. That would probably work.
Sausages.
As long as they're not too fatty, I think that might clash, but it could be good.
Yeah. I mean, is Canada specifically known for their cuisine? You know what I mean? Like,
like more so Montreal. That I mean
they did give
Quebec
us Maddie Madison.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Maddie Madison.
But he left, right?
I mean, anybody would.
Sure.
I mean, why would you stay?
Yeah.
Sorry, Canada. Did we just get banned in Canada?
Probably.
Okay.
I thought we were already banned in Canada.
Once again.
Yeah. Well, we just got rebanned.
Just reaffirming.
They were very polite and were like, we're probably maybe kind of going to have to ban you if you do that again.
No. We are polite. We are Canadians.
So I guess this could go with seafood too. I mean, this is probably an all-encompassing kind of beer, like with anything. You know what I mean?
I would watch what I said on the meat with some of the excess fattiness. Same thing with some seafood. It gets really oily. You get a really oily seafood, that's going to really go. But if you can find a nice mild seafood, yeah, I agree. Sure. That would work well.
Mm-hmm. It's probably a good hockey game beer, you know?
I mean, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Juliana didn't do justice to the can, just saying it's a nice can. It is a beautiful can.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Why don't you describe it
for us? Yeah, what do you got going on there?
Describe it.
Well, you tell me.
It's Starman. For those of you listening at home, it's Starman from the 2112 record. It's a golden can.
Very old.
With a big star and a naked man standing in front of it saying, oh no.
Naked butt.
Don't land on me, star.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because we have assumed control.
Sure. Very good. Very
wow.
Good.
All right.
See, true Rush fan. I mean,
just dude, there this he, guy, is.
He knows his yes. stuff.
No, I mean, it is a nice can. It's very tasteful, I guess. You know, like I've seen some rock cans that are just before. Anyways, yeah. Okay. So what shall we rate the Golden Ale?
Yeah. Okay. I'm with Kendall. I'm a 4.2.
We're going to go with 4.
All right.
All right. Kendall, is it safe to say that you are a Rush fan?
Probably not as big as Carl, but, okay. You know, I love the band. I've seen them live. And Moving Pictures came out when I was 13 years old. So that's easily my favorite record, even though I'd argue I probably have others that I enjoy just as much. But it's that impact of just the time in my life when it hit. Can you imagine when Tom Sawyer comes on the radio when you're 13 and it's the first time you hear it, you're like, this is amazing.
Mind is blown.
So
yeah,
always loved that album. Like some of the newer stuff too, but I'm just a fan in general. Neil Peart was a motorcyclist, did some amazing adventure riding, and I'm just a big fan of that too.
I didn't know that.
And have you read his books, the Ghost Rider books?
I have not, but I've seen the motorcycle. It was on display at the Hall of Fame in a Motorcycle Hall of Fame in Ohio.
Wait, there's a motorcycle
Hall of Fame.
And I don't know if his motorcycle is still there, but they had it featured at one time. It was cool.
Are all of the Halls of Fame in Ohio except for baseball?
I have no idea.
No, the Boxing Hall of Fame is in Canastota, New York.
Oh.
Yes.
For what that's worth, all of you listening, get out there to Canastota, precisely in the dead center of nowhere.
Okay. Big fan of the guys. All right,
we'll be back with more in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is a Rush tribute, if you will.
Sure.
Or Rush Day. I don't know.
Well, let's hurry up and get to it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, fine. Okay, so right before the break, we were talking to Kendall about his, how do I want to say it? Like, what Rush means to him.
Yep.
Now, Carl, what does Rush mean to you?
I've got a lot to say on this matter.
I'm sure he does.
Well,
an entire
do.
Segment.
So, well, I'm going to start with this. So, when my youngest two were in elementary school, we got involved in a carpool with some folks who lived around the corner. And their son is the same age as my youngest daughter. So they were kindergarten through fourth grade together. And so every morning I would drive over there and pick him up and then drive to school. And then they would drive the kids home, which worked out great. Like it's easier in the beer business for me, it's easier to do drop off and whatnot in the morning. I oftentimes have stuff going on in the afternoons. That's when people are out drinking.
Yeah.
So anyway, so come to find out that both the parents grew up in Toronto.
Dun, dun, dun.
So,
nice.
I was like, oh, how cool. And of course, the first thing I say is, you know, well, you must love Rush. This little snot had never heard Rush before.
What?
So I was like, are you like,
really?
You are going to have to turn in your citizenship cards.
Yeah.
Both of you. That's, like, you're not allowed to be Canadian.
It doesn't seem possible.
So every morning we would listen to Rush in the car. Nothing but Rush.
Yeah.
And this, we don't drive carpool with them anymore, and this has continued. So this has been going on for probably 7 years.
Oh,
all awesome. We listen to is Rush that's every really morning cool. on the way to school.
That's cool.
Nice.
So I probably, just by virtue of this, probably listen to more Rush than any other band that I listen to currently, just sure. because
yeah,
every
because
morning.
That's every day.
That's
yeah.
your default ride music.
Yes, exactly. We yeah. get, I mean, and it's always shuffle, so, you know, shuffles up YYZ. Oh, okay. Well, maybe okay, I get gotcha. One track on the way in.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm thinking two or three Rush songs a day.
Yeah.
Is nice. Kind of my general intake.
There you go.
I think okay. you mean YYZ.
YYZ. And so I've got this sort of long ongoing relationship with Rush that I've been able to involve my kids in as well, which is great. I think that they have grown to love them in the way that I do. And so I think that what really draws you in, at least what draws you in is the music, but what keeps you is how quirky and strange they are. And, you know, the more you read about these three guys, you know, Geddy and Alex Lifeson grew up together. They were, you know, friends in mm-hmm. elementary school, and are just these two like goofball guys. It's a very strange sense of humor, almost British in their approach to humor, very dry. And
yeah.
And then you have this savant drummer, Neil, who comes in after the first record, and then they say, you know what? If we're never going to break up. Like, they were together for 40 years, these three guys, mm-hmm. which is, you know, genuinely sort of that era of music is gone. You know, like once the Stones hang it up, like
that's it.
Right? Yeah,
that's never yeah. happening.
No,
Keith Richards will live forever.
He's
basically pickled himself.
Gone. Yes. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. He's he's very well preserved.
Sparky, you do a lot of the carpool duty. Right.
I do, man, and it's sad because duty. yeah, it's sad because we used to have, like, you know, we used to have a no cell phone policy, and we used to all, like, everybody would submit their songs and we build these playlists, and I'd, you know, sneak in my songs and get the dad music in there going on. But now it sucks. They're all on their earbuds looking into phones, and they're automatic silence. It's sad. They won't even let me listen to NPR. So I'm just like trying to start conversations. So how about the weekend, guys? Nobody? No takers? Okay. I'm going to shut up and drive you to school now. Goodbye. But I have a weird relationship with Rush, because when I was in college, I lived with three percussion majors.
Oh, wow.
No way.
Yes. And I was a music major for a minute, too. And two of them were really good. And they had a shrine to Neil Peart in our apartment.
Should.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
Yeah.
However, one of our roommates, Ryan, was basically the gimp of the group. Like, he was, I don't know if his parents had raised him in a shell or something like that, but and he really had no like no cultural knowledge whatsoever. And so we were always just ruthlessly like punishing him, because like, Ryan, you idiot, you, how do you not know who Neil Peart is? You're a drummer, how can you like have a drum set and not? And so it was just, we were constantly abusing him, but that was always one of my great joys, was just abusing Ryan for not knowing who Neil Peart was. And then and then, like, you know, 10 years ago when Rock Band, you guys remember that whole like music game yeah. setup thing, dude, I had like this huge setup, you know, the wireless mics, guitars, like $300 drum set, all this other stuff. And every nightly party, like we'd have dinner parties, would always devolve into hours worth of Rock Band, which would always, there was always somebody that would just rush all the time, because it's a lot of fun to play. Pretend, not for real. But
sure.
yeah.
Sure. Nice. Yeah. Neil was a beast. I mean, a beast. And his kit. Oh.
Good Lord.
Oh my God.
It's
sorry.
Insane.
Sorry. Like
right.
the Time Machine tour, like, I don't know how many of you saw that tour, but the kit was like steampunk. It was beautiful. Okay. Anyways. All right. I'll get to me later. Let's get into another beer, shall we?
Let's do it.
Okay. So let's go to the Signals 2022 limited edition Belgian Strong Golden Ale. Only 11.9% ABV, in case you're wondering. So this was their third in their series of premium Belgian-inspired beers. Signals is the classic Belgian blonde with Riesling, must, and cold
there pressed. Oh, there it is. Thank you.
That's what it is. Yeah. Okay.
I was like, there's something. Is this going
to Thank you turnt? For saying that. Yeah.
You are so welcome.
Okay, thank you.
So it's giving you aromas of stone fruit, peach, maybe mild spices.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this release is all the more special for them at the brewery because the fire hydrant that adorns the album cover was manufactured almost a century ago, just 100 or so meters away from the brewery.
That's cool.
So there's that.
Meters.
I'm really glad that you said there was grape must in there because I was...
You were
I was
like, what is this?
I don't know if I want to talk about this, but yeah.
Yeah, no. I had the turnt thing like, well... Some of that tastes like a Belgian club. Yeah.
Some of it started out as a Belgian.
Acetaldehyde.
Yeah.
It was apple-y.
Getting the apple and even almost a little tartness, like not sour, but there's something going on here.
Uh-huh.
And that now it makes sense. Yeah. It's beautiful. Ooh.
And it's, it is, right? And it's interesting because when I first saw, okay, golden ale, let me get my head wrapped around, and then tasted it, I was like, whoa. Like, certainly this isn't like bad packaging or, and I was thinking, oh crap, maybe this is a bad beer, but no, it is not, even though it's not
exactly
normal.
What it should be doing with those.
If this was a straight Belgian golden ale, then yes, it would be turnt, but
it's very wine forward.
Yeah.
I would say
for sure.
I mean, Getty's a big wine guy, big collector and wine consumer. So that
tracks
really shouldn't surprise us, I guess.
Yeah.
I like this.
Well, yeah, I was picking up some raspberry. Weren't you got? No.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Because we all, Mike hates raspberries. Yeah. But anyways.
I mean, who doesn't?
Right. Yeah.
I've been doing this January thing. I don't know if any of you are following along at home. I'm part of a little group of people, and we each kick in 3 bottles of gin, and we do dry January. So I try a different gin every day of the month during January.
Wow. Why weren't we a part of this?
We're taking applications for Splinter Cells now.
Okay.
But anyway, so the last night's gin, some of the botanicals were peach and raspberry.
Mm.
And
really?
It was really not for me. Hmm. Like, I'm a London Dry guy.
I'm a London Dry guy, too. Matter of fact, some of the American style stuff just really...
Yeah. And I mean, I'm open to trying, like I'm interested to try different stuff. And this one was just really, I mean, it's very subtle in its application of raspberry, but I let the kids smell it before I taste it. Of course, I'm not letting the children drink it, but I'm like, hey, what do you smell when you smell this?
And they need to grow up learning what good gin smells like.
Yeah. And they were both like, this smells like raspberries. Is there like bubble gum or something in it? And I'm like, no. Anyway, I'm not a big raspberry consumer.
What country
either.
Did that come from?
I don't know. I'm gonna have to look it up.
Okay. Wow.
I think it's Holland I'm pretty sure it was Dutch.
Okay. Okay.
That's flashing me back to the gin episode where Mike like made us taste 100 gins. Like, no, don't hold your heart. That was tough.
But it introduced me to Spanish gin.
That's true. That was worth it. That was worth the cost of admission there.
Yes, that I'm like forever in love with Spanish gin now.
And there's so many great tapas style places now that are popping up around town that really kind of focus on that. So,
I know, which is great. Mm-hmm. And now that we can actually get some Spanish gin in town, by The Alchemist. Oh, so good. So good. Okay.
This is not a gin show.
Sorry.
Gin sidequest.
On our latest sips episode.
Sidequest.
Good old boy Dave, what do you think of the beer?
Well, now that I know what it is, I really like it. Yeah, it makes sense. A lot of the peach notes come out really well. So, yeah, I can wrap my head around this beer a lot. 11.9%. Probably wouldn't drink a lot, but...
Yeah, I can't feel my molars anymore.
Oh.
You don't need those.
You won't. Nah, yeah, you don't need those. Molars. No.
Yeah.
This is beautiful. And this is a thinking man's beer, if you will, to go along with a thinking man's band. Like, I think it's really nice, if that makes any sense. What shall we rate this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. We're going to rate it a 4.
Is that like a 5 in Canada?
Maybe. Maybe.
What's the conversion rate there?
Yeah. Exchange rate.
Yeah.
For such, it might be for such ratings, like almost even right now.
How many loonies were each one of these cans?
Good old boy Dave, what is your exposure to?
Oh, I don't care for Rush. No, I'm just kidding. no. So we were talking about it earlier, Carl. It sounds like Carl and I kind of came in to Rush right about the same time. Roll the Bones was the only time I've actually seen him live, and that was one of the first albums that I really got into. Great show, great live band. Then I went back, you know, and kind of listened to their older catalog and stuff. Their newer music before they, you know, before Neil passed and then they kind of dissolved everything, I didn't really keep up with it. So I'm more like early catalog up into early, you know, early 90s is where I kind of flow.
Yeah, it's funny. Unlike Iron Maiden, where Bruce left and then Bruce came back.
Yeah.
And that segment of records where he had just come back, I'd kind of poo-pooed and then came back around to it and was like, all right, these records actually rip. Rush, I think their catalog gets dropped in for me into buckets where it's two or three or four records that have a very similar feel, and then it's a change. And the change that happened after Echo, like Test for Echo, is sort of the beginning of the final bucket. It was Test for Echo, Snakes and Arrows, Clockwork Angels.
Yeah.
They're tuned down. They're just like we talked with Iron Maiden. It's a reflection of the time. So they're like a little, they feel heavier. The tuning is lower. Of course, Geddy can't hit a lot of that screamy, shrieky Led Zeppelin stuff that he was doing in the 70s. Then that kind of lost me a little bit too. Like I appreciate them for what they are. But you know, I'm just a slut for a pop hook, and that era of that sort of after Permanent Waves, like you roll into Grace Under Pressure through Counterparts, has much more pop approachability, I think.
Like almost a mainstreamness in the, you know, scheme of things.
Well, I think like even like well-established bands, they still feel the pressure to follow kind of like what's going on, and that doesn't always really fit their strengths.
Plus you have to change to stay relevant. I mean, two of my favorite bands, both from the early 80s, Metallica and U2. I mean, they've had so many different sounds. Metallica not so much, but they've definitely gone through a few phases.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh god, yeah. Like when the Black Album came out, we all thought
that was so different.
The end had come. Yeah. Well, I mean, sellout.
Sorry. Well, and I think people want to evolve as artists too, you know, to a degree, but
not a lot of people can do that successfully too. I mean, it's, there's a handful of groups that can really, you know, stay relevant and make those transitions.
Yeah. And those are the bands that are still around.
They're like 40 years or, you know, for the Stones, like, what is it? 107 years they've been playing.
Yeah. Since 1873.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard. And, you know, like, the Stones actually have a pretty new song out now, and it's
new album. They did a whole new album.
We listened to that record, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Like, and they're wanting to be current, but I don't feel it.
Yeah. Just go back and play Street Fighting Man right now.
and just be done with it. Anyways.
Sorry, I stopped passing the bottle
around. No, that's okay. So the next beer that we are going to talk about is Moving Pictures or Moving Pitchers. It's a 2022 limited edition Belgian strong dark ale, allegedly.
Is it got any weird stuff in it that we should know about on the front end?
Just so we can have that first sip and be like, oh no. It's always in my brain. I'm always like, oh no, this was not what it was supposed to be.
You're funny. You're really funny. I like you.
Well, I think this is the one.
This is the least dark Belgian dark strong.
I've ever seen. What is this?
That's what I'm looking at it, and I saw the bottle. We got the right bottle, and it tastes good.
It says it right. It says
I can smell some.
It's good. It's really good.
It just ain't very dark.
It's not dark.
What's the ABV on this sucker?
Yeah.
27.
Yeah.
No. 14. No. Which is funny for, you know, Belgian dark strong, I expect raisins, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Candy sugar raisins.
Yeah. Yep. I'm waiting for that special B. There's a specific malt that you would use in a Belgian dark strong called Special B that contributes that sort of raisiny candy sweetness and gives a nice dark color, which this beer is definitely darker in color than the last one, but I wouldn't call it dark. But it's interesting. I think water is such an important characteristic of beer. And when a lot of people say, oh, well, all of their, you know, when they're talking about a specific brewery, all their stuff tastes the same or all their stuff tastes similar. Well, of course it does, because the water coming from that brewery, it's the same water in all those beers. So there's going to be a degree of consistency across somebody's brand because the primary ingredient in that is water.
So wait, this one's supposed to have the Riesling must in it too?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I'm trying to figure out on the notes here if this is with freeze-dried honeydew melon.
What?
And Niagara Riesling juice.
When they dined on honeydew.
I don't know.
I have questions.
Yeah, right?
You may have to investigate further.
Yeah, it's just not as dark as I was expecting it to be.
No, and you can't really tell because the bottle's pretty darn...
And this one, this one tastes more like a straight Belgian... ale
for sure. I think
there's nothing adjunct.
The fire hydrant beer was much more the wine forward.
Yeah.
Whereas this, I get more Belgian character out of it.
I think those Canadians are trying to trick us.
Crafty Canadians.
Or maybe this is the Canadian version of a Belgian dark.
Shouldn't it say Belgian style dark strong?
Well, we'll be back with more here in just a minute.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is an episode that is an ode to Rush, essentially. And right before the break, we started talking about the Moving Pictures beer, which was, it's a 2022 limited edition beer. This came out about the time of the 40th anniversary of the record, Moving Pictures. And it is a... It says on here that this is a Canadian golden ale and not a dark.
Oh.
So, okay.
All right. Well, that makes sense.
So that would make more sense because before the break, we were talking about how this is not dark.
So is there another Moving Pictures beer that is a dark Belgian style?
Did they do two versions?
I don't see that here.
Okay. Well, let's go on the assumption.
Yeah, because now I'm looking at the Rush website, which is talking about this beer that was released
in
March of 2022. And they are saying that it is a 11.9% ABV strong ale with fruity notes of berries and grapes with a spice and floral bouquet to round it out. Also, aromas of maple syrup add complexity while tannins help balance out the sweetness.
Why do the Canadians have to put maple syrup in everything?
Everything.
Because... That is their version of butter.
They actually have that instead of blood. You cut everywhere. A Canadian, I have.
Those boys
there's a little bit of maple syrup that leaks out before the blood. It's
those
true.
Boys get the syrup in them. They get all antsy in the pantsy. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't get any.
I don't get any maple syrup in this.
I don't get any maple.
Yeah, it's to me this is not as good as the last one. Yeah. Good flavors. It's a good beer. I'm enjoying it. I mean, I would definitely drink more than one, but
I guess in the context of a Canadian golden ale, 12% beer, not bad.
Yeah, and again,
now that we're not expecting it to be dark.
Yeah,
right. And I think it's held up well too, right? As a beer that came out in 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, for 2 years, yeah. But isn't it safe to say that a lot of Belgian style beers can last a bit?
I mean,
yeah, enough booze. Everything sticks around for a second.
Yeah, like the your natural preservatives in beer are hop oil and alcohol. So typically the Belgian stuff, you wouldn't expect them to be super hoppy. But if they're super strong, that also helps.
Oh, maybe all the maple syrup fermented out in the bottle. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
So this is really interesting. So at the Black Abbey Tap Room, periodically we bring in guest taps. And given our like direction of European-influenced American craft, when we bring in a guest tap, I sort of, you know, we try to draw a line in the sand and say, we really want this to be some sort of Euro beer, right? And I feel like that's important. And so we brought in Unibrew's 30th anniversary stout, which was brewed with maple syrup.
Of course.
When we first tapped it, like standard US coupler, tapped it, pulled it through the line, went to pour the first pint, and it just spat at a extremely high velocity.
Oh, wow.
Because it had refermented.
Like it was dying to get out because of the re-fermentation.
Yeah,
because
there was so much maple syrup in it. Wow. I'm guessing that it wasn't pasteurized, right? Yeah. Maybe it was. But we thought it was really, we're like, what is this? Do we not have our pressure set right on the draft system? What's going on? And then, you know, we gassed it off a little bit and then it poured great. And I think a lot of times when you start playing with these raw sugars, unfiltered stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you can get a little
re-fermentation.
Yeah.
Or exploding cans.
Or exploding cans.
The best.
Boy, you go to the store and you see some of those cans that are kind of misshapen and kind of bulging out.
Like, I used to go through the warehouse and just see, you know, like stuff that there's nothing like that. Like we like have an entire palette of cans start to like all like go. You're just sitting there like, what's the next one that's gonna go? Let's find out.
Yeah.
Sounds a good time.
So what do we want to rate the I already forgot what it's called. So moving pictures. Things. Sure, moving pictures. Pictures. Yeah,
pictures.
Yeah. We're gonna rate it a 3.
All right.
Yeah.
Can I get a picture of moving pictures?
Next time more syrup, people.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about Xanabrew. Yeah.
No, it's yours.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
high marks for the pun.
Yes. Yeah, right. Okay, so Belgian style ale and 10.5% ABV.
I'm sorry, I cannot get that Olivia Newton-John song out of my head now.
But this thing is very pale.
Yeah.
And by comparison, the last one was much darker. This is a very, very light, almost looks like a Pilsner for Belgian ale. Is it a Belgian strong ale, Belgian golden?
It says Belgian style ale.
Okay.
That's all they're going to give us.
It
looks great.
Yeah. And on the back of this, it's Kublai Khan standing at the bar in the Pleasure Dome.
Wait, what?
Yeah, said to his followers, geez, after all that pillaging and stuff, I could use a nice cold one, eh? It would be great if one day beer geniuses invented a delicious Belgian style brew we could have on tap. It only took 807 years for Kublai Khan's dream to come true.
All right.
Like I said,
there you go.
Yeah,
what a bunch of quirky, weird dudes.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, while we taste this,
I like
Juliana,
it,
why mm-hmm. don't you tell us about how you first exposed yourself to Rush? Or, I mean, your first exposure.
Ha! Funny. Okay. Well, I'm kind of late to the game because, granted, growing up, you would hear some Rush songs, and I'd be like, yeah, that's cool. But I really wasn't exposed to it till I moved to Buffalo in 95. And Counterparts was the first record that I actually like listened to and was drawn into. And then I subsequently like went and found the back catalog and started listening to that. And then going to shows, because like back in the day, it was easy to cross the border and you could see Rush play in Canada all the time. And it was, I mean, so easy. Like you just get on the QEW, drive for 10 minutes and you're there in Toronto.
Toronto. Is that near Toronto?
It's a suburb of.
Yeah, oh, okay. It's a burb. Sense. Yes, yeah. It's a burb. Yeah. So if I wasn't like seeing musicals there, I'd be seeing Rush. And I fell in love with them because I was also getting into prog rock at the time. Stop it. And there were similarities. And then I got into, I listened to Hemispheres, and to this day, it's still my favorite record.
Songs, each one of them's like an hour and a half.
It's okay. But this is what records were like back then. Like, now you have a single and you get a bunch of singles that are like sort of like, you know, puked onto a record and that's the end of it.
Is that how they're made now?
No. Wow. Yes.
No, but it feels that way. You know, there were themes. There was a lot of thought that went into the A side and the B side of a record and all of that. And I just really appreciate them and have always loved them. And I haven't seen them as many times as Iron Maiden. But still, they're up there in my top 10 bands of all time.
I guess I never thought of Rush as prog rock because I don't remember any of the albums where someone was banging trash can lids together or any old British ladies screaming on top of their lungs.
You're not sticking the dagger into the left side of my house.
They're more of a working man's band.
Yeah, but
they are. Yeah.
Modern day warriors. Yeah.
Fine. Fair. I mean, they are modern day warriors. Good for them.
Yeah, they are. But they are, and they're a thinking man's blue collar band, if you will, if that makes any sense. And for three band members to make such a sound, that's really impressive. And as a pseudo bass player myself, like, I mean, Geddy Lee can just do no freaking wrong.
I heard that. You know? I don't know if it's true, but Gene Simmons claims he taught Geddy Lee how to play bass.
That's ridiculous. Gene Simmons should teach himself how to play bass.
Okay, fair. Gene Simmons should just teach himself to play any instrument.
It is really funny that you bring up Gene Simmons because I was actually about to bring up Gene Simmons.
Do tell us about Gene Simmons.
Well, if you haven't seen the Rush biopic, Time Stand Still, you should see it. Because it documents the final tour, their last tour. Mm. And in the beginning of that, for the last couple of records, Rush was on Rounder Records, which is based here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And so the guy who did our website for a while and does Yazoo's website and whatever also worked at Rounder. And really got to know those guys.
Oh.
In the beginning of that Time Stand Still biopic, there's a bunch of different interviews, one of them with Gene Simmons, talking about the early days of Rush and they were on tour with Kiss and some of...
Which is so bizarre.
How all that...
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Right, so strange. Yeah. And it was during that time when they were all wearing bathrobes and, you know, that like that pre-2112 era where it was just really trippy and sci-fi prog rock. One time, the guys in Kiss... they stapled slippers to the floor on the stage in front of their microphones, in front of Alex and Getty's microphones, so that because they would come out in these ridiculous kimono robes, and they were like, "Oh, you forgot your slippers," and they just stapled to the floor. but Gene Simmons, one of the things that he said was like the first show that they did with Kiss. He said, "You know, I come out and I see what this drum kit, this Yahoo's got set up out here, and all these toms and gongs and cymbals, and he's like, this is ridiculous. This guy's over the top." And then within the first 3 minutes of the first song, he's literally touched every item on the drum set. Right. And he's like, oh, well, all right.
Yeah.
He's kind of legit.
I guess he does need all this.
Yeah, I guess he's here for all this stuff. And if you haven't seen Time Stand Still, I would highly recommend it, because it was a fascinating view into Rush at the end, right? Mm-hmm. How they were... like how the guys got along together, how they did or didn't want to go on the road anymore. It was a really interesting take. I went with my son, who was, I mean, he must have been 12 maybe at the time when we went and saw that movie. And it was right at the beginning of his interest in Rush. And then almost immediately afterwards, Neil died. And so it was like his interest in the band was just beginning, and then he would never get to see them. And then, but for me, of course, it's like at the end, right? Because I had seen him multiple times and had known and loved them for a long time. And so it was a really weird space for me to be in watching that movie with him. And he and I still talk about it years and years later. So if you have the chance to watch that film, I think you really should.
No, good call. Good call.
Will do.
Yeah. I mean, they're still such an amazing band. And now Geddy Lee has this little mini series going on.
Yeah, our bass player's human too. Yeah. Like, it's on Amazon. I don't know if you guys watched
it. It's
weird that is the name of it, because I've always felt that Geddy Lee is an alien. There's no way he's human. The way he can play a bass the way he does and sing in that range.
Yeah.
He's not fully human.
Of this earth.
Well, but the guy from Primus is his brother then. Because
he's definitely an alien.
What's his
Les Claypool.
Yes, Les. Yeah. In fact, there's an episode with Les and Geddy it's together. Amazing. It's like it's just perfect. But
I feel the same way about Primus that I feel about sour beer. I had respect for it.
Really? No, not your jam. Okay. God. Jerry was a race car driver?
Bah.
Oh, sorry. okay. So this, what do you guys think of this beer?
Xenobrew.
I finished mine a while ago. I was kind of nice to not see any adjuncts or anything. It was just like straight to the point. Mm-hmm. Nice, clean finish, a little bit of grain at the end.
This is the most Belgian of the Belgian ales we've had.
Yeah.
It's got that Belgian character you think just you're going to get.
Just enough of it. Yeah.
But it's almost subtle, but it's a really well-drinking beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is my favorite of all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so too, because this is like truest to style, if you will.
Straight to the point.
I think they keep
making this one too. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going
to
be.
It's hard to make a Belgian beer this good. They can go sideways.
Even
quick.
For Belgians.
Yeah, okay. Fine. Well, whatever. We are going to rate the Xenobrew, which I believe is the most recent release, anyways.
Yeah.
A 5. Yeah, I'd like to pick up some more of this. Okay, so it looks like we got
a little extra time.
Yeah, we do. So let's get into a bonus beer.
A bonus beer from another power trio fronted by a singing bass player who coincidentally are no longer together. So
yeah, which is
sadly
no longer alive. Also true.
Fair.
Somewhat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Kendall. Thanks for bringing it down.
Wow. Man, I miss Lemmy.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you that are just now listening, we are talking about Motorhead's Iron Fist. It's a loud and hazy India Pale Ale, 6% ABV. And it is brewed by Lift Bridge Brewery in Stillwater.
Minnesota.
Yeah. So again, 2022 is the 40th anniversary of Iron Fist, which was released in 82. God, I'm getting old.
Wow.
It is Motorhead's fifth studio album and the last to feature the three amigos of Lemmy and Phil and Fast Eddie Clark. So, okay, quick thoughts about this.
It's a hazy IPA. You're getting what you think you're going to get. Seems pretty well made. I would drink too.
I mean, it's solid, right?
Yeah.
Like for what it is, it's not too fussy. This
makes me want to play video poker and drink Jack Daniels.
That's freaking awesome.
So
Sparky,
perfect.
How about you?
It checks the box.
All right. We're going to rate it a 3. And that is going to do it for today. This was a really cool episode. At least I think so. Well, thanks everyone for being here for a Rush tribute. Good old boy Kendall, thank you so much for being here.
It was a pleasure.
Please tell us about your blog.
You can find me and my wife at bm3.beer. Check out what we did last year when we hit every brewery in the state of Tennessee.
Woohoo. Good old boy Carl, thanks so much for being here today.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And how can we find you on socials?
You can reach me on Instagram is the best way, at BlackAbbyCarl.
Perfect. Good old boy Sparky.
Thank you for helping me to fulfill the terms of my work release program, as always.
We are here to help you, Paddington. Good old boy Dave.
Bye.
This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.